Okay, I'm gonna join recess as Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. And I see Mr. Parker there. First thing before he does his presentation, I'm gonna ask if there's any public comment under the Flood Control and Water Conservation District.
Seeing none online.
Alright, Mr. Parker, it's yours.
Good morning. I have a really brief Sigma update before I actually introduce our presenter. As you recall, last meeting I was here, we were in the middle of our public comment period for chapters 2, 3, and 4. That period is now closed on May 24th. And just for reference, so you're aware, we received a variety of comments in each of our basins. So Butte Valley received 4 individual respondents, Scott Valley 16 respondents, and Shasta we had 9. And so what myself and staff, along with our facilitator, did with those comments we received is we classified them in terms of like administrative, if it was like a punctuation or a term wrong. We classified it that way. We had legal classification and we had technical classification. And so we have them in different buckets, so to speak, to review. The legal comments are in the hands of our legal consultant. He's reviewing those right now, and we'll once he's had a chance to review those, we'll have some follow-up with staff to interpret those and how to best move forward with those legal comments we received. Last week we had our advisory committee meetings. During the majority of those meetings, we discussed the future water budgets that the technical team presented, and then we took some of the high-level topics in terms of the comments we received and had a discussion about those particular items. And Scott and Shasta, it was particular to the in-stream flow metrics that we proposed. In some regards, we talked about some of the projects and management actions that have been discussed and debated, so to speak, among the committee and the public. So that's my really quick update on that Sigma stuff. Moving on to the main reason for today's presentation is I have John Bliss from SCI Consulting Group. And if you recall, part of our Prop 68 grant, we had scoped in there a little bit of money to do a fee study. And the fee study is not to start implementing a process to charge fees for our Sigma implementation. It's more to get in mind what that may look like in terms of a fee or a tax or other sort of revenue source to implement Sigma. We thought we would get ahead of the game and get an understanding of sort of how that may look like and get some feedback that way. You'll also see in there some preliminary, a really short preliminary table in terms of yearly costs for each basin that staff and the technical folks have worked through as well. So again, I'll remind this is just for informational. We're not in the process of developing any sort of process or steps to implement fees for Sigma. This is just for informational to get a better understanding. So with that, I will introduce John Bliss and turn it over to him.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you, members of the Flood Control District. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. My name is John. Thank you, Matt. And I want to just kind of set some framework here. That was a great introduction. I'm going to do a PowerPoint here. I'm going to share my screen and give you some information. And actually, I think you've already got the PowerPoint ahead. So I think I'll let the technical folks know when we need to advance each slide. Essentially, this is the same presentation in your packet, but there are a couple of slides that we have some updated numbers, and I'll point those out to you as we go along. My colleague Ryan in Austin is also with us, and so if it would be possible to unmute him, that would be helpful, and then Laura Foglia. So from LWA. So essentially, as Matt said, the challenge here is to that there are some specific real implementation costs as required by Sigma to implement your plan. LWA and Laura Foglio and her group are developing your plan right now. We have a smaller role. Our firm has a smaller role, and our role is to help you with the unenviable task of funding that role. We understand the challenges of funding. Our firm works primarily with public agencies in rural California working with stuff that's tough to fund. So take that with some perspective if you go for it. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So essentially, this is just a little bit on our firm. We are working with you here in Siskiyou County as well as Sierra Valley, Sonoma County, and in Mendocino County and the Ukiah Valley Basin. Every area is different, of course, but there's some similarities that we hope we bring lessons learned in those areas that we can share with you. So let's go to the next slide. So the project goals, so Sigma requires that you develop a GSP, and that's going to be done early next year. And it has to be implemented, and we need funding to implement it. So we need to come up with something that is locally viable, it's the right size for your three basins in Siskiyou County, and in doing that, we're going to talk again, and as Matt perfectly said, today is just kind of back of the envelope to get your feet wet, so to speak, on what are the right side, what are our costs in perspective, as well as some of the options that you have to fund this. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So when we look at the options, we're looking at how much money they can bring in. Are they viable? What does it cost to implement? Are they legally defensible? And how hard are they to administer? So let's go to the next slide. Okay, so we have three basins, and I apologize in advance. This may get a little tedious, but we had to develop different numbers for the three basins. So just bear with me as I go through. This is one of the most important slides, and because the costs are not terribly different between the three basins. And if you look at the very bottom of that table, the number to look at, and this is a range, is the thought is that for you to implement the GSP, for the Butte Valley Basin, the cost will be between $135,000 and $230,000 a year. So that is our revenue goal. Laura Foglio from LWA is here, and we can answer some questions at the end. If you want more detail on the individual costs, and absolutely part of this will be to go very rigorously through those costs, make sure that they are accurate and defensible and they're right. But for today, I just wanted to, this is again, kind of back of the envelope to give you a sense of scale. It's not $10,000 a year. It's not $1 million a year. It's less than $250,000, between $135 and $230. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Scott Valley, the numbers are the same, $135 to $230. Let's go to the next slide. For Shasta Valley, the costs are a little bit higher. And so it's between $168 and $287. And those, again, are per year for those specific basins. So just to give you a sense of where we're headed and what our revenue needs are going to be. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So what are the funding mechanisms available to you? Nothing is very good. I don't have any silver bullet. I don't have great news, but I want to talk to you about what is viable. The first thing that we always look at, particularly with rural counties, not that you're going to love to hear this, is it possible to fund this with existing revenue sources? And I know it's easy for me as a consultant to suggest that, and there isn't money available, but bear with me as we get to some of the other options. This one will not look as bad, and I will tell you in some of our other areas, they're looking at this. So use some existing revenue source. As associated with Sigma, there have been grants and loans available, and there will be more in the future, but grants and loans are limited. They typically more emphasize capital improvements, and we have incorporated the use of grants for capital improvements associated with groundwater sustainability into our report and our thinking. So that is probably anything that needs to be built, anything capital would be based on a grant. So the numbers that we're going over with you are operations and maintenance, which is primarily satisfying regulatory requirements as well as monitoring the quality of the groundwater as well as the level of the groundwater. There's also an opportunity for some use of regulatory fees. The use of regulatory fees, it's a different animal, and it's somewhat limited, but if there was any plan check or check of a meter or something like that, that we could put a fee on, a fee for service, kind of like your county fee schedule, there's an opportunity for that. That would not fund very much of that $135 to $260 per year. So plan A is probably using some sort of existing revenue source. However, there are two additional mechanisms that you should be aware of that should be considered, and I would almost call them as a plan B. If there is not a way to fund this with existing revenue, the plan B needs to be explored. And there's two options for plan B. Neither are particularly appealing, but I want to go over them. The first plan, and this is how Sigma, this was the intent of the state. Now, the state believes strongly that every basin should implement what's called a property-related fee. And a property-related fee is well-defined in Prop 218 from 1996, and there's a couple of different flavors of property-related fee that have different requirements. What we would use it, and this is how the law was written, is what's called a non-balloted property-related fee. It would be allocated to the well owner. So it would not, a typical property owner that does not have a well would not be subject to this fee. It would be only on the well owners. It requires what's called a protest hearing where notices are sent to each of the affected property owners, the well owners, with the rate structure on it. And then the county would conduct what's called a protest hearing. If less than 50% of those property owners protested, the fee gets into place. In other words, it requires a political process. It's not as rigorous as a true ballot or an election, but it has some rigor, and there's no doubt that there is a very high political hurdle because well owners are of the accurate mindset that they are burdened in a wide variety of ways, and this would be an additional burden. So a non-balloted property related fee, again, that's what Sigma, the state, believes. That they may not have talked to any well owners before they came up with that, but that is what they thought how this would go. There is another possibility that you all should be aware of, and that is a more traditional special tax. It would be balloted, and likely it would be on all the property owners in the basin, not just the well owners. And the argument there is that every property in each of the three basins does benefit from a sustainable groundwater in terms of the economics, the groundwater level, the quality, the long-term sustainability of those communities. That would be a tax that would be a typical tax, a typical election. It would be a special tax and require two-thirds support. So the three options I'm supporting I'm introducing today, and then I'm going to model them a little bit so you kind of understand the impact is some use of existing revenue sources, or a property or a fee on the well owners, or the third one would be a special tax, which would be on all the properties. All three of these are viable and used. In fact, one of our clients, Sierra Valley, which is in Sierra and Plumas County, actually has the second and third one. They actually have a groundwater sustainability special tax on all the properties, but then the well owners also pay an additional fee. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Again, not just circling that as the plan A, so let's click one more time, please. So this we'll focus on Butte Valley because it happens to be the first one. This is one way you can do a proper property-related fee. And this is a table I'm going to help you through it with the different columns. And we call this a flat rate. So it's not based on the amount of water drawn out of the well, but every well pays the same amount. And so on the left-hand column, you can see the different types of wells. Then the approximate number of those types of wells. So there's 34 agricultural wells approximately in Butte Valley, and these are preliminary numbers. And then what would it take to reach the revenue goals? And so just as a reminder, in the very bottom line of the table, in the lighter gray are the revenue goals. We need to get between 135 and 230. So what that would look like, one way to model it, again, and I want to be real clear, these numbers are just to help get a sense of perspective. They are not set in any way, but one way to model and generate that revenue would be to put a $3,000 per year fee on the agricultural, industrial, and municipal wells, and $125 a year fee on the domestic and or other types of wells, and that generates the low range of 135. The high range would be $5,300 on the big wells, that's the ag, industrial, and municipal, and $150 on the other. So just to give you a sense, are we talking $30 a year, $300, $3,000, $30,000 per well? In this case, they'd be looking at about $3,000 a year. I'm going to more rapidly go through the other basins. Again, this is just to give you a sense of scale. So let's click next slide, please. So Scott Valley, we have a few more ag wells, and when you have more wells, since the costs are relatively fixed between the basins, the rate goes down. And so you can see for Scott Valley, it'd be $1,100 up to $2,000 for the big wells per year, and $75 to $100 for the domestic and other wells. Next slide, please. Shasta Valley, same thing. We have even more ag wells and industrial wells. And so our range was $850 per well per year up to $1,500 or $30 to $50 for the smaller wells. So that's the flat rate with property owner fee, property related fee on the well owners. So that's one model. Let's now go to the next one, which is based on the usage. And I think this is one of the slides that may be updated from your PowerPoint, again, your printout. Again, we apologize for that. We got some late numbers. So this is really how the Sigma, how they thought it would happen. And they thought it would be, the big wells would likely be metered and they would be charged per acre foot. And so in Butte Valley, the approximate acre feet drawn out of that basin is about 85,000. If you put $1.60 between $1.60 and $2.75, per acre foot on those wells per year, based on what they draw, that then you would generate the revenue goals that we need. Again, to give you a sense of scale, let's go to the next slide. So this is Scott Valley. A little less is drawn out of Scott Valley. Costs are around the same. So it ranges between $3.25 and $5.75 per acre foot per year. Next slide, please. This is Shasta Valley, 44,000 acre feet drawn per year. So the range would be from $3.75 a year to $3.75 per acre foot per year to $6.50. So this is the usage model, how much we draw out of that. And then the third model we're going to look at was the last on my list, which is the special tax on all the parcels in each of the valley. Now, in some of the areas that we work, we've got lots of single family homes and lots of folks living there, and you put a tax on those. In this case, there's not a lot of single family homes in any of the three basins, but there's lots of ag acres. And so you can see in the left-hand column, that's the type of use. Then the parcels column is the number of residential units and the acres. For the residential parcels, that's the first seven in the list, we base it on each. So each, in this case, we would charge each single family home $4.50 up to $10.50 per year to generate this. But the important thing in this table are that not the last look at the last three. It's actually the agricultural and timber and pasture. What we're doing in this case to model it, again, these are just preliminary models, is we would put $1.40 up to $2.35 per acre per year. And if we did that for ag and timber and pasture, we can generate our goal of 135 to 230. So again, this is the special tax model. It requires a two-thirds registered voter approval at a regular election, and that gives you a sense. It's to pass a two-thirds special tax is very difficult anywhere in California. It's very difficult in Siskiyou County, of course. These rates are low, so it's not a heavy lift in financially, $4 to $10.50 per year. However, there is a real sense in lots of California, most of California, that folks aren't signing up for new taxes. So this is a tough way to do it, but we want to give you a sense. Let's go to the next slide. Scott Valley, similar. Again, there's a few more houses there, but there's a little less agriculture, or actually timber and pasture. And so a typical business or single family home or mobile home or office or vacant would pay between $6.50 and $13 a year. Again, not a lot of money, but there's a principled pushback that we're seeing throughout the state. The ag acres and the timber and pasture, we model this at $1.75 to $3 per acre per year. Let's go to the next one. Shasta Valley, our costs are a little bit higher here, but we do have a few more single family homes, a lot more single family homes, and we were able to model the single family homes at $3 to $7 per year. Again, low dollar amount, but still a heavy lift. And then the ag rate and the timber and pasture rate would be between 75 cents and a buck per acre per year. So that kind of gives you a sense. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. I want to kind of, so really that kind of concludes my presentation today. I'm happy to answer any questions, engage in any discussion. Again, we wanted to bring this to you fairly early in the process. The plan isn't due for another 8 months, something like that, so that you guys can start thinking about how you want to do this. What we would do as the next steps is sharpen our pencil, get a little smarter and detailed with those costs, that cost range. We'd love to get some guidance from you at some point in the future on which of the funding strategies are most appealing. That's probably not the right word. There's probably none that are appealing. And then we can kind of work with you on how you engage the community and ultimately what kind of funding strategy you would like to use. So with that concludes my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Sure, you can start.
So, I noticed right off the bat it deals with the basins only and not countywide. And yet the problem we have, if you want to call it that, is countywide. What does it look like if it's a countywide fee in some proportion versus just basin oriented, even if you include the entire basin and the usage there? The county overall, north, south, east, and west, benefit from SGMA. So how do we encompass the whole of it? And I understand the complication at the ballot, I get that. But water issues have been a high mark for the county for a very long time. And so there's gotta be skin in the game for at least everybody, from my perspective, proportionately. What would that look like?
Sure. This is John again. Great question, great point. What we'd like to do is do a little further research on that. From our standpoint, if you all chose to go with a property-related fee on the well owners, it wouldn't have a big effect. But if you'd like to say, hey, we believe, and I think you're accurate, that all properties in Siskiyou County benefit and are related to responsible groundwater sustainability and management in the three basins, is it possible to put a special tax on all the parcels? Absolutely, we can model that, and we'll go ahead and model that for you. Just to state the obvious somewhat, if you have more parcels or more, if you spread out the number of parcels you're going to place that tax on, one of the nice things is the tax rates go down because you have more parcels to generate the same amount of revenue. One of the things we would need to do is probably work with staff and maybe county council on understanding the county's ability to put taxes on different parcels. I believe that you have that ability without reservation in all unincorporated areas. There may be some limitations. I'd have to understand the flood control district authorities in putting them within incorporated cities. But that's something that we'll research, and we can model that and let you know what it would look like to put a special tax for groundwater sustainability on all parcels within the county. I think it's a good suggestion, and I think it's viable.
Through the chair. And I'll add that one thing we have to keep in mind is that Tule Lake's its own basin too, and we're part of that GSA, so we have to sort of work with that as well. But I think we can work with John to kind of figure that out.
Question, right?
Yeah.
So I have a question regarding what revenue is needed. How do you develop a budget without knowing what the approved plan is going to have in it?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I worked with Laura on her experience in some of the other basins and other basins similar to us. I think she kind of worked off what Mendocino County went with for Ukiah, and it's tough because we are guessing, we're factoring in just, you know, the general staff time and the admin time to sort of do the year-to-year manage of this. It's not going to be a full-time job, but then we looked at the reporting aspect. We'll have to do some reports, a little bit of data capture. What really drove the cost up was the monitoring aspect and the modeling work, and that we're still relying on some modeling for all three of the basins, and then monitoring, depending on how sophisticated we feel we want to be, between the maintenance and the operation and collecting the data. And that's what sort of drove up the cost is those two aspects. And so it was a rough guess based on hours that Laura came up with to come up with those two main items. So I know that didn't specifically answer your question, but we started from somewhere, and we're going to be kind of guessing for the first year or two.
I'd like to ask, regarding the monitoring aspect of it, is this per well monitoring, or is it an acre-based, irrigation-based monitoring process?
The monitoring aspect, it was more of a spatial distribution that the technical team worked on. So they basically just, you know, overlaid the basin and tried to find equal monitoring locations surrounding the basin. Now, in some of the basins, like in Butte Valley, you have the whole wildlife area or in the grasslands, and so there's not a lot of really anything to monitor there. And so there's a big data gap, so to speak, within Butte Valley, because you don't really have any active wells in that big part of the area. And so
nonetheless, you're monitoring specific well elevation.
Correct, yeah. And the rules that we have to comply with under SGMA is the typical what's been in the past now is the CASGEM, where you have at least a fall and a spring measurement. That's the minimum we've had. We've done some continuous measurement in locations, and that, you know, obviously we're driving the cost because of the equipment costs and the labor to maintain that and so forth.
So, still trying to recover from my brain exploding here.
Sure, understandable.
Over what I saw, a couple things I really don't like. One is the way the fees are developed or approved pits one voting block against another. And I'm sorry, but that's going to create a civil war in Scott Valley for one thing, and a great deal of discontent, infighting as well across between ag, domestic users, and adjudicated water users, which is, I hope I never see, truthfully. The, you know, a special tax is dead on arrival in this county. I can't even get people to pay $25 for an ambulance to show up at their house. You know, so I don't know.
I guess that, but I don't know what else we look at.
Well.
Other than the state taking it over.
Yeah, hold that thought. Why is the domestic fees so high in Scott Valley compared to other basins?
I'll refer to John on that one.
So I think that I heard a couple of things, and one of the questions was why the fees, if we look at the fees for Scott Valley, they seem to be higher. Was that the question? Did I get that right?
Yeah, in comparison with the other basins.
So actually, if we looked at the flat, if we looked at it as a flat fee, Butte Valley, we were in at $2,800 to $5,300, and Scott Valley is a little cheaper, $1,100 to $2,000, and then Shasta Valley is even lower. And the way to think of this, I guess the best way for me to respond is, Shasta Valley is the costs are going to be a little bit higher, about 25% higher. But most of these costs in the other two basins are going to be about the same because they are satisfying monitoring requirements, which are the same in the different basins. From that point, the fees are really vary based on how much water is drawn. If you draw more water, your rate per acre foot is lower. And it is driven by the number of wells. If you've got lots of wells, your rate per well is lower. Or if it's as a special tax, then it's how you distribute it amongst the acres of ag and timber and the acre and the single family homes or the businesses. And so as I look at Scott Valley here a little bit, they're in most of those, they're kind of in the middle of the pack. Again, these are just basic models that we're starting. But it divides up probably the only one as the special tax. Scott Valley is a little bit higher, and that's because it has a few less single family homes and about the same acreage as Butte Valley, but about the same. So that's why they're there. The other thing, while I have the microphone, I would say, and we need to be careful on this, is the comment that of a state takeover. And I do not want to be an alarmist. The state, this is very, very rare, but that's the stick that the state has. And if the state did make some finding that the groundwater was not managed properly, they have the mechanism to take over. And if they do, we see this in flood control, actually. In some of the reclamation districts, the state has taken over. And the costs usually go up from 3 to 5 and times, which is terrible. But it's also the loss of local control. And so that's really what you're trying to manage here, is to satisfy the state that you all are doing a good job on the groundwater sustainability. And with the unfortunate burden of having to pay for it somewhere.
Yeah, I understand that from a state standpoint. I'm trying to make it real, is what in my head. I was largely questioning the difference on the flat rate between Shasta Valley and Scott Valley on the domestic side. Where Shasta Valley, you're looking at zero, and or $2,750 on the higher range. In Scott Valley, we're looking at 75 versus 100. So, a couple of the things come to mind. One, metering wells will get me run out of the county.
We have not been support a mug meter. Yeah. We've mentioned that numerous times in all three basins, and I think even times the technical folks have shared with us why they're not practical for up here. So.
Okay. And you mentioned the budget, and you mentioned modeling. It always gets the hair to raise up in the back of my head. One of the things I'd like to know is, when will the model that we use to be predictive be able for us to take that over and manage it cheaper than having some really high-priced PhDs tinkering with a model in perpetuity? And I'm not discounting their work. I'm just saying that I do know researchers, and I know they have a propensity to study things forever. I'm more interested in having a model that we can plug numbers into, bring some numbers through, and meet sigma, rather than continuing the research indefinitely. And that should at least ameliorate some of the costs, I would think.
Yeah, I can defer to Laura, who's on the phone, but I will say that I don't think right now staff, there's no qualified staff to do any sort of model runs at all, but I can defer to
I use a lot of models professionally, and once they're published, they're a matter of just putting data in and not having to mess with the algorithms and everything else. It takes a highly skilled individual to do that. And it seems to me that once we know how these models work and don't have to mess or validate the algorithms any longer, there should be a reduction in how much that costs us in a budget on an annual basis to be able to monitor our groundwater basins.
Matt, maybe I can offer something?
Sure.
And Ray, thanks for the question. So the model, for example, in SCOT, we are not changing the model. We are just using it for running different scenarios. So in a sense, it's already kind of just ready to be used. It's not that we are making, we really didn't make any further refinement or so on. It's just really looking at different options and see in a predictive way what's happening to the basin. For Shasta, we are in a little bit different spot because we started so much later. So, and in Shasta, there was a general agreement with the advisory committee that there is a little bit more work that needs to be done because to fully trust what we are using. And same for Butte, we just put together everything during the past couple of years, and we know that the committee was really highlighting a lot of data gaps. So I can see a little bit more development going on for mostly for Shasta in the next 5 years. What I want to point out is that the cost for maintaining the model, in a sense, is embedding also the need that it's for putting together the 5 years update. And so basically we are not budgeting a special voice for that, but the GSA will need to submit a 5 years update. And for the way we've been asked to wrap up the plans right now, there is a lot of weight, let's say, in the 5 years update so far because of all the data gaps that we have. So we are kind of, the way I was describing it also to the advisory committee is that I think it's better to plan ahead, and just to give you an idea, other basins, they are budgeting $1 million just for the GSP 5 years update. We are not doing that, so we are much, much, much lower than that. But the modeling cost kind of, maybe we don't need that much, but if that amount is not spent, the way you have to see it is like it's gonna be in a bank for the 5 years update when there will be more work needed. And we will be organizing, probably some of the work can be done directly by the GSA, and we can just provide information. That's something that we can always work together. But I would say probably, I don't think the same amount of money will be needed every year, but it's the total over the 5 years that it's really what counts right now. So maybe you will be banking a bit of money at the beginning and use it later, or the other way around.
Okay, just so you know, I will be scrutinizing the budget from the standpoint of not overdeveloping another bureaucracy and keeping it as frugal as possible to serve the constituents while not, like I say, developing a big bureaucracy that is never increasing funding demand on the citizens of Liquor.
Staff will be doing the same.
Supervisor Chris.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So, complete respect for what you have to deal with as a segment coordinator. If you didn't do this, people would be mad because you had to pay 3 to 5 times more to the state. With doing it, people will be mad because they have to pay the county money that is hard to earn in agriculture. So moving forward, I think you want to get the numbers down right. I respect that. But before we make that action, I think after we take that action, before we take the action, how it will be charged, I think the meetings in each basin is important. Public feedback, public information. I think also in the models, it would be wise to show what it would cost if the state had charged it in each model, just as a comparison. Just kind of give respect to staff, because I respect this can be a very difficult spot, as I said there previously, either the mad that you didn't do it or mad that you're charging. But just in comparison, when it's presented to the public, what it would cost for the state, I think would be good. And then a meeting in each basin, if that's the path we take. So each basin has a full chance to be heard on their concerns, which has to be valued, as well as ideas they may have as well. For government wells, would they be charged also? Okay, like a refuge or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. So they wouldn't be exempt to government?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. and that's all, you run the figures different ways. I'm sure that private wells were viewed a certain way, districts was viewed a certain way. And how they can spread out the cost, and also cities and municipalities that rely on well water, and they're all going to view their own budget numbers to hold different ways and advocate as is best they see fit. For the Two Lake area, I'm sure you've already thought about it. As you know, we're partnering with the Two Lake Irrigation District there, but we have a sliver of it. So I just was wondering what the thoughts were on how we would cover the cost for that sliver. And we probably want to coordinate with Monarch County to try to make that comparable.
Yeah, and to this point, sitting on part of the core team for Two Lake fees or anything like that has not been discussed. So.
Okay, understood. They have a lot of stuff going on.
Yes, they do.
But just how we view that there, fair for them and fair for the folks. And with that, I'll stop with Mr. Parker.
Again?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We have to remember that we started this as a grassroots effort, and we let our constituents know that there would be a fee associated. No one in this room is going to be advocating that, yeah, we're just going to throw a fee out there just to do it. But responsibly, if we're going to be a grassroots effort and still maintain local control, I'm most interested in a flat fee countywide, not per basin, because I think that the entire county benefits from this. It's not just localized to the basin itself. We're all water users in some capacity. And I think one of the things that we all cringed at when this came down the pipe, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if the state took this on, the CEQA charge was $1 million a basin, and we're exempt from that under local control, to my knowledge. Am I correct?
Correct.
So it behooves us to keep that light at the end of the tunnel here. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. But be local control with this. I think that's the best way that we can maintain cost or keep costs from going up. I don't know what the state's going to throw at us future, but I'm going to use the SMARA program. When we took that over, and it was, you know, the locals wanted us to take that on as well. We started out at what, $2,000-ish for a permit per year, and or 2,500 somewhere in there, and we reduced it based on costs. I think that can happen here. The only one factor that concerns me is the litigation cost. SMARA, it cost the county quite a bit of dollars. This could end up being that, and I don't think we're going to have any fee of any kind that's going to offset what may come to litigants on the plan itself. But to be able to maintain and prove out that we are sustainable here, I think it's a buy-in from the entire county. And again, I'm not an advocate for just throwing fees out there, but I look at this as a very proactive way, and by spreading it out, I think it lessens the costs on all water users. But I'm only interested in a flat fee of whatever kind that looks like. I can see that there's different tiers in that, but beyond that, I think it gets too complicated.
I support Supervisor Chris's comment about letting people see the state's version versus our version, only because it kind of shows the sale, you know? Look at the great price they're going to get compared to the state's version. It might ease the pain just a little bit. And I'm in agreement with Supervisor Kopsa in that if we can spread this out a little bit, I don't think it's going to be an easy burden on anybody, but if we can get the county's buy-in, everybody's buy-in on it, I think it'll be better. And I don't want the state involved. That's just never a happy thing to give that control that we have over to anybody else. Although I think we need to keep a really close eye on what we're doing and not let the policies get away from us, and make sure that the control that we do have is really well thought out and well planned, and those models are really scientifically maneuvered the right way, and that we don't lose sight of what we're doing, and we really have a lot of forethought and care in what we're taking control of, because I think it can get messy, and that litigation can come back on us, and we really have to be careful with what we're doing here, because there's a lot at stake here, and a lot of people's lives and livelihoods are tenuous. So with that control is a huge amount of accountability and responsibility. So we need to be careful.
One question. And then I have a couple of hands up.
No, I want to comment on something.
Okay. Last question I have is, with tax, the tax structures, different fee structures that were proposed today, you're county-wide, but are those within the city limits subject to the county taxes?
I'll let John answer that so I don't misspeak.
Sure. Matt, could you repeat the question? It broke up just a second at the end.
Are taxes permissible basin-wide, or are some residents within cities exempted?
In the models that you've showed us,
yeah,
what are those? Basin only.
These are, yeah.
Those were great question. Yeah. So basin only, and I hear you loud and clear, and we should have come with you even today with some preliminary models countywide. That's remiss on our part, and we'll develop those on borrowing countywide. The only thing I put my foot in the door on is I'm not totally clear on the flood control district's ability and authority to impose a tax, a ballot tax, of course, within incorporated cities. I know you can do it in the unincorporated county. The numbers you saw today were only the parcels within those basins. They were not countywide.
Yeah, this is something obviously we'll want to research, but my understanding is that we are able to impose or propose a tax or a fee within any area covered by the flood control district, which would be in the basins, and that would include areas within incorporated areas. I don't want to go off the top of my head understanding, but I, from having dealt with this in another county, my understanding was that we did have a special tax proposed in an incorporated area that was done by the flood control district, and so I'm going to assume that's something we already do, with the caveat that we want to look into it.
I'd like you to do that because there's language in SGMA about municipalities, and but I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the tax structure myself.
And Natalie may have something to add or contradict me for all I know.
Matt and I and the consultant will have further discussions on this because there are limitations in the Flood Control Districts Act. Specifically, there's tax rate limitations that apply. So we'll have to see applying those limitations, whether a special tax is even viable.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of things, I guess, in clarification. So when we talk about whatever the fee structure of all that is, going back to the original premise why we took it on is not to look at state, but I will tell you that this has been a headache. No matter what it is, we're going to get, you folks are going to get pushback, just like SGMA, and I will tell you, this is the one moment where I say, no, I wish the state would have done it, because you guys are going to, we're going to be looking like the bad guys here. When we didn't want this, we didn't ask for this, but there's a cost associated. So when we talk about implementing a fee, you're talking about within those basins, right?
I'm countywide.
See, I'm not for that. I'm going to use the fact that South County is not in the same scenarios that you're doing. We're not heavily ag in that sense, right? But I have constituents that have wells. They're domestic wells. And for me to impose another fee on them, I can't do that. That doesn't sound palatable to me in the sense why this was brought on to us.
Through the chair, I'm just going to respond. I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
Other than we have a lot of influence on agriculture in these basins from South County. And if we're all going to have skin in the game about water for Siskiyou County, that's why I'm saying it should be spread out countywide, that we all have skin in the game, and it'll reduce the costs. And those that are concerned about maintaining a sustainable SGMA plan, I think that we all need to participate.
And we're going to disagree on this, obviously.
Yeah, no, because, I get that.
Yeah, because the fact of the matter is, and I don't want to hit this hard, Supervisor Kopsa, but I would remind you, because you're the only one on this board, did not support me when I wanted to be in the Irwin program down to bring money in for those for water saving projects. I have suggested to you, Ms. Ogren, regarding, let's go out from grant money for start saving for, let's just say, replace every low toilet in Wairika. That's a direct impact to water. I've suggested to you, Supervisor Cox, let's go to each ranch in the different basins and get a funding mechanism where we can rotate them in and out, those kind of things. I've always been on the forefront thinking about county as a whole. I cannot put that all on my constituents who are the biggest driver when it comes to, in South County for conservation type measures.
Okay. I'm going to go to the Zoom callers. Go ahead.
Jennifer Dickinson.
Yeah, 3 minutes, please.
No, it's fine. Ms. Dickinson?
hear me. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay, hi. I just have one question for Mr. Bliss. My mother owns a piece of property out in Cecilville. It's called the Jordan Ranch on Caribou Road. She has 60 acres. She does not have a well. She is using Garden Gulch as her source of water to irrigate.
Ms. Dickinson, this is not a time to be asking questions of the speakers. This is just for public comment. There's no discussion.
Okay. I just don't understand how it's going to meter. That's that somebody that's using groundwater. So I don't know who to address that to. That's all I have to say.
At this point, we were given options. Metering was only one option, and it's not favorable by the board. There'll be subsequent meetings for discussion.
Thank you.
One more caller.
Nick Jocelyn, go ahead and unmute.
Nick Jocelyn, Little Shasta Valley. I disagree with Michael Kopseff. I think this reason for the study of these basins is specifically to place a cost on the users of groundwater. And I think we'll continue having problems with groundwater extraction unless the true cost of groundwater is utilized. And businesses who are not profitable or efficiently using groundwater will slowly find themselves unable to continue. And I think that is part of the whole point of Sigma, is that there is a cost to groundwater, and the users who are using it should be bearing that cost. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. I'd like to remind everybody online or here in the audience that the purpose of Sigma is to protect the aquifer, not to impose fees. Fees can be an ancillary cost associated with the monitoring so that our aquifers don't continue to be degraded or go below the current category that they're in. So with that, I thank you for your presentation. Parker?
You bet. Thank you all.
The copy you made and handed out didn't match what was on the screen.
Correct.
So which one is the correct one? The public, and everybody saw that one?
Yes.
This is the correct one, and I can email that
I need that copy. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to adjourn the Flood and Water Conservation District, reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors.